You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And perhaps we can look to the Lord. Our Father and God, we have opened your word, so help us. You gave your word to be able to know you. And knowing you, to be able to know thy word and understand. So help us. Thank you very much, Spirit of God, as you honor our Lord and our Father, as you are pleased to be gracious to us. And our Father will thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you would remember Israel's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful assignment. Well, Israel's assignment is simply summed up for us. They are to be known, verse 7, 43, 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have called, created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God created us and died on the cross to save us. So that what? Down to verse 10. Israel's wonderful, wonderful life. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen. What's the purpose? What are we supposed to be exercised in and do? That you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have saved you for you to know me, to know me who I am, to understand who I am, to enjoy who I am, to exercise who I am in a most wonderful way. That's what I have chosen you for. And therefore, in the light of that, if I can, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. And again, in the Gospel of John and in chapter 1, keeping in mind God, in his wonderful will, wants him. He wants to be known, understood, and enjoyed. So therefore, God has to help us to know him and to bring him, his wonderful person, into focus so we can enjoy and understand who he is. So therefore, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God's awesome, awesome person. He's the creator. And God's wonderful purpose is to know him. Therefore, God, how do we know the invisible God? With difficulty. But you've given us your word, and you became flesh. You put on a human house just like we do, so that we could relate and understand how to know you as a person is to know you in your person, in Christ. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we're to have a unique, wonderful understanding of your awesome person. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The Lord Jesus Christ is to bring the invisible God into our presence, into our understanding, that we can understand our person understanding his person to know his wonderful person in a wonderful way. Now, so we got 21 chapters of John to help us understand, to believe. He's going to tell us who he is, and all of it is going to go and point to believing. That's what you got to do. Believe, believe, believe 99 times. Believe, 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 believe. That's what I want you to do. You have to believe me. I am who I am. John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, you would remember. And in John 20, verse 30, as you come to the end, chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as our Savior, we're able to go and have this unique relationship to God in a most unique way. Back over to John chapter 1. We're to believe. And in the process, keeping in mind, chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jewish nation. Rejected him, crucified him. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right and the might, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. They're able to go and receive him as your Savior. Believe, that's what he wants you to do. Believe he is who he is, and doing what he has done, dying on the cross to save us. So when we receive him as our Savior, we become his children. Literally, born again spiritually, John chapter 1, John chapter 3, John chapter 3, and in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, or spiritual birth. So we're saved physically, we're born physically to be saved spiritually, to have a want not to be in this body, to be knowing him in his most wonderful way, to understand God's saving grace in an awesome way, to know him and to enjoy him. Now, with that little bit in mind, keeping that in mind, back over, if you would, please, to 1 John. And in 1 John, you'll remember, it's all about understanding and exercising your personal, one's personal relationship to God, to be enjoying God. Like it says in John 1:3, to have fellowship, to have a wonderful relationship to God, to be able to walk in the light, etc., as he is in the light, to be able to enjoy God's wonderful person in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, everything is against that. Your old nature, think of Sunday school, and think of all those different things. The world around you loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So they don't want to know light. They don't want light. They don't want to see. They don't want to exercise the relationship to God because they love darkness. And if you love darkness, why would you step into the light? The minute light is turned on, the darkness is gone. So I'm going to avoid God because he brings light into my darkness. And I love my darkness. So I don't let it in. I make sure no one touches the switch to turn it on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here in, we share together in John chapter 4, all the way through, that they have, the believer was to have, a most intimate, wonderful relationship to God, to enjoy that relationship in a most wonderful way. Everything is against it. The Gnostics and all the other, the world they live in before 100 AD, around near 100 AD. And the enemy is there. John's the last living apostle. And it's very difficult. So therefore, they're getting all kinds of messages and all kinds of stuff about Jesus and God and the law and everything. So it's very hard. So they got to lock on. They got to lock on and be believing and understanding who they are. They need to be having a wonderful, wonderful exercise. A very, 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 very personal way, and you know it without doing it all again, but it's worth doing it all 7,000 times. And at John chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. God dwells in us. Verse 16. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. God in you, and you in God, the believing heart. Verse 16, and we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So when you receive John 1:12, you receive him as your Savior. God finds his home in your heart and makes you belong to him in an intimate way as his children. He helps us, the Spirit of God gives us spiritual life. As our birth, physical, gives us physical life, the Lord gives us spiritual life. And that spiritual life is to be exercised and enjoyed in God's wonderful way. It's intimate, God in us. And we're, at some awesome, wonderful way, are to be found in God. And again, if I can find it, because it's worth doing again, because it has to be locked in. Has to be locked in. And therefore, remember now, I'm going to say it again. Here you are. And you need to know the Lord as your Savior. So you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Savior. You become a child of God. You become a child of God in a most wonderful way. And at the same time, God, Christ in God, God and Christ in God, at the same time, and God goes, and this is true, and this is true. God finds his home in you. That's what Jesus said. In you. And you dwell in God. God dwells in you. And you dwell in God. And you're resting. You can't just simple. Just not simple. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, now, so therefore, as we came and went down, and in the process, we found what this relationship makes. When you get saved, you're saved. When Christ died on the cross, he died and finished and made it all possible. So, as you receive him as your Savior, you become a child of God. You don't become more of a child. You become a child in a full, finished sense of the word. You're saved. You're not going to be more saved. And you're not going to get better. What you're going to do is understand that God has you're to have a relationship to God, and that relationship is to be developed and to grow. The relationship is to be developed and to grow. It's not more of a relationship. You can't be more saved. And that's why your old nature is crucified and dead. He's done with it. When did he finish with it? Before even you got saved, he finished with it. So then he tells you, John 16, the only sin I have against you, of anybody, is you don't believe me. That's the only sin. He didn't say about anything. 1,000,000,000,000 sins. He didn't say them. No. The only sin that's going to keep you from knowing God is you don't believe. Just in case, I know you know it, I'm going to hold my finger right here. 1 John, back over to John chapter 16. It's all over the place, but here's John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, the Spirit of God's going to convict the world, convince the world. Verse 8, 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove, convict, convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, not sins, S-I-N, no S. Of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. That's the only problem. Christ died for the whole, he's done. He's done with it. So when you get saved, you're saved. And God crucified your old nature. He's done. He's finished. And you just need to believe him. And God isn't going to use it. What did we read in Isaiah 43? Israel was to know and to honor him in a most wonderful way. So here in 1 John, they're to know him. And the trouble is the world doesn't want you to know and be a light. Don't keep your light on. Don't have your light on in a world of darkness. So verse 17 we shared together. Because all of that is true, we have boldness in the day of judgment. So the day that we go home and God takes us home, we have no boldness, free, frank. We boldly come, as we did all these things, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find his wonderful mercy. And that's why we're going to come. Because God, we have boldness. Boldness, no timidness. We aren't sitting there, well, I've been so bad, I don't feel I should go to him today. I haven't done good to God. So therefore I'm not. No, he doesn't. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to bother you, God, because I've done not good. And I could stay that way for 2 or 3 months. I should have stayed that way for 30 seconds. The minute I confess my sin, he'll think about forgiving my sin. He'll think about it. Is that what it says? You confess your sin. I am faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Zips, done. Why am I going to do that? Because I already forgave it. It's already forgiven. You just aren't practicing that you are forgiven. Practice that you're forgiven. And be forgiven and go down the corridor of time. As you read 1 John. And in the process, and I just said it, I'll just try to lock that in. Chapter 1, 1 John, turn a page or two. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in it. And we did all the, you got an old nature. It isn't going to go away. So we aren't apologizing for an old nature. We just have it, and we have to live with it till God takes us home. And so that's what we're going to do. And we don't excuse ourselves. We have all the negative and all the bad stuff is there. But Christ crucified it and has taken care of it. It's always there. It's going to be there tomorrow morning. Be there this afternoon. It's not going to go away. But I know it's been forgiven. And I'm to walk in the light. Because it is forgiven, I walk in the light. And if some big problem comes along and I goof and goof in a bad way, then I confess my sin. And God, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. And God, what do I know? I'm forgiven. That's all God asked me to do. Keep your relationship clean. Exercise. Don't let things build up inside of you. Build up. Keep your slate clean. Confess your sin. Keep it clean. As you walk in the light, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you. It's cleansing you. Stay clean. Stay clean. You're in the shower. You're in the shower. Just waters keep coming. Waters keep coming. And as long as you're in the shower, you're going to stay clean. That's what you're going to do. Stay clean. Back over. Boldness in the judgment. Not only that, we're able to go and there is no fear. Verse 18. We have no there's no fear in torment, punishment. No, it's finished. It's a done deal. I need to exercise it in a very positive way. I need to be assured in a most positive way and exercise it in a most positive way. So therefore, chapter 5, what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to show you what is the Spirit of God. What do you want us to do? I want you to understand and know and show. I want you to show that you know. And therefore, you're going to rehearse. You're going to rehearse what? What you know. Why is it all so? Why? Because whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten. So the first thing, whosoever believeth, qualify the assurance, the wonderful, wonderful insurance, the fellowship we have, the evidence is all there. And therefore we're going to go, knowing what? If anyone believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And remember, Jesus is the Christ. Back over to verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So, God, what's the whole issue? Jesus Christ is just a man. No, Jesus Christ is not just a man. It's God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh. That's what makes you saved. And I'm not believing in Jesus and then God's out there somewhere. When I believed in Jesus Christ, I believed in God. I had God. God was in front of me to receive. The Lord Jesus said, as many as receive me, I'm going to receive him. When I receive him, I receive God. God enters in. Jesus is God. And that was the argument, that he really can't be God in the flesh. A man can't be God. And that's the argument, chapter 4, in verse 2. Verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So therefore, chapter 5, verse 1. The believer believes that Jesus Christ is God, wonderfully, wonderfully God, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore we know that. So what do? When we receive Christ, here we are, we're rehearsing, letting it be known that you aren't going to trick me and get me all confused about this whole business. I'm going to make it clear to myself and to you out there, whoever you are, that if, verse 1, whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God. And every one of you that have received Jesus Christ as God, as your Savior, you're related to me. All the others are not related to me. I don't care how religious you are or whatever position you have. You have to be saved. And those of you who are saved, I'm related to you. I understand. You have the same God? I do. I received him as my Savior, and so did you. And when I look at him, I find you, because you believe. You're there, same as I'm there. I can't exclude you, because you're saved. You're there. I have to understand. I can't see him without seeing the believers that are saved, that have received him as a Savior, the same as I did. We're all on the same page in that sense. And therefore, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. So therefore, we're going to go, which is what we just said, that we're going to go, God, God, you save them. There's no way. I can't see God without seeing you if you're saved. Because they're saying, I can't see God, because God saved you. He saved every whosoever that would believe and receive him as a Savior. So therefore, there is confirmation. There is confirming. In the midst of it, I doubt. Well, I'm going to confirm it for you. I'm not only going to confirm it, chapter 5, I'm going to affirm it where there is no doubt. There is no doubt. Affirmation. There is no doubt. No, sir, I'm going to lock it in. Not going to lock it in. You aren't going to get me. Now I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you that I know. I'm going to show you that I am knowing. That's what I'm going to do. What are you knowing? I know that when I got saved and you get saved, you have to receive God. And if you receive the same God and the same Christ in the same way, many has received him, then we're on the same page. That doesn't mean we're always in fellowship, no. It does mean, though, that you're saved. And I have to understand that. No matter how lousy you may be, I may be, in my attitude and thinking, if I'm really saved, I'm saved. And in God, in Christ, judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, saved is by fire, nothing else. Just saved. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so therefore, verse 2, by this, in this, is the love, in this we know. What do we know in this and by this? In this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, and keep his commandments. Well, when do you know that you love God? When do you know that you love? If you've got loving God, you have to love all that God loves and all that God's doing. I can't be in the body of Christ and in God and say, God, I don't love that, but that you love. But if God loves it, I better love it. That's all. There's no question about it. I have to love what God loves. God saves whosoever's in a wonderful way. By this we know. We are knowing. We love God and keep his commandments. Look over in chapter 3. And in the process, remember we did this to help us. Chapter 3, picking up please, if I can, in verse 21. 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And we're very positive, assured, have assurance, that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why is that? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And we did, that's right. Now explain it. Do. And here's the 600-something things the Jews have, they've got to do, don't do. Big long list. Do this. The works. Got to do works. Do this, do this, do this, do this. The church says, do this, do this, do this. And you'll have, if you do enough and bring enough, I'll give you three goldfish. Three goldfish. You'd have to remember that. That was back then. Big things. To get people to church, they had all kinds of prizes. You know, get them on the bus and get them in. Yeah, they did. Okay. Works. Works. Think of Catholic, Mormons, whatever. It's works. Works. You got to do the works. Works. The works don't save you. Works are not, no, they don't do anything. That's of the flesh. Works. When you get saved, God lives his wonderful life in you. And it's God's life. Where do works fit into God's life? His life. What does he have to do to be God? How's that? What does he have to do to be God? Nothing. He don't do anything. He's just God. I am that I am. Now, so therefore, remember what we did, it's wonderful. Verse 23. Verse 20, 22, we keep his commandments. Verse 23, and this is his commandment. Now sum up the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So how are we going to keep your commandments? Verse 22, you're going to go and sum up not a whole bunch of works and the law. No, that's not going to do it. Nope. He summed it up simply for you, for us. And this is his commandment, that we should believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you want me to do? The only sin is you don't believe. I want you to believe. I gave you 21 chapters of just believing. To believe me. That's all I ask, for the relationship to me. I don't want your old nature. I'm giving you myself and all that I am. Think of Sunday school. Wisdom. I'm giving you my wisdom. I am your wisdom. Walk with me. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and as we walk, so God's going to, what are we going to do? Believe. And what's the second thing? You're going to keep his commandments, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. Verse 23, excuse me. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the second thing? Love one another as he gave us commandment. That's all. I want you to show that you know me. And I saved whosoever. You are one of them. You're one of them that I saved. And here you are. I want you to what? I want you to understand. I want you to believe me, he said. And I want you to understand that we love. You're going to show the love. That's the evidence. The world can't see anything else. They can't see the invisible God. And they reject his word. So they're in blindness and darkness. And so in the darkness, they don't see. So what are you going to do? Love. I want you to show that you love. And in verse 23 again, love one another. That's the only thing. Love where? In God. What are you saying in 1 John chapter 5? What are you saying? That you know what? I know. I know that the person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is born. Because they believe Jesus Christ, they've received God Almighty into their head and heart in a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And they know, and we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And that's what you just read in 3 and 23. How are you going to keep his commandments? Think of Matthew, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 22, 3, 2. And the Lord Jesus, the scribe says, listen, tell me, I try to keep the law. The law says, how do I keep the law? And then he says what? Thou shalt remember. Remember, I'm going to turn it, if I can, right over there. And you know it, because that's what you're going to do. God, you're going to go in your wonderful way, and help us to understand in God's wonderful way. And chapter 22, Matthew 22, and in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What did we just read in John? You hang on in your mind. What did you read in John 3 and 23 and 5 and 2? We love God. You told us to believe. That's how we honor your word. And love, that's what you did. How are the Ten Commandments summed up? Believe God and know God and love God. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor, because the love of God that saves you is the love of God that saves them. It's the same God. It's the same God. We should love everything in God that he loves. God is love. And everything that God approves of and stamps in his righteousness, I have to agree with, and I don't debate it. I don't say, how come you got that in your house? No, whatever you got in your house, God, belongs there. And that includes us. That includes us in your house. Yeah, that's what it does. That's what it does. Now, back over to 1 John. And you'll remember. Picking up by me. And in the process, in verse 2, and this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So God, what are we doing? We know what? What do I know? I know, God, you love me and gave yourself for me, and the only thing you asked out of me was to believe that you do, that you are who you are, and you did what you did to save me. And I'm to receive you as my Savior. When I receive you as my Savior, I find myself in the same fellowship with Peter, John, Luke. I find myself in fellowship with those guys. Chapter, hold the book, 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, communion, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, with us. Paul, John's the last living apostle. Peter, James, and John, they're all gone. But you, when you have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with John sitting in front of you, and you have fellowship, John said, with Peter, James, and John, that are in the same fellowship, in the same God, in the same way that you is. So therefore, that's the evidence. What's the evidence? I understand I'm in God with all that God has saved and all that God is doing. Chapter 5, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to be borne. Difficult. Practice. We're going to practice the wonderful love of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in doing so, we're going to find that God's commandments are not grievous. Heavy, hard to carry, burdensome, hard to be borne, difficult to fulfill. God, you're asking stuff, and we don't have to turn there, but if you did, the Pharisees, what did they say? They told you all kinds of things you had to do to be saved, to fit in like we do. We do everything. We work at everything. You work like we work, and you can be like us. And God, and what did God said? The Lord Jesus said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. No, don't listen to them. And in the process, what are we going to do? God, all the commandments, your commandments are never grievous. Never, never grievous. Never are they difficult. I don't ask anything. I'll never ask anything out of you that I won't make possible. And if I want you to move, like Matthew, if I want you to move a mountain, I'll move it. If I want it, there's nothing grievous I ask of you. Nothing. Nothing heavy. My yoke, Matthew 11 and 29, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Always light. I am meek and lowly in heart. That's all I ask. I don't ask anything out of you. I want you to be holy. 1 Peter. But I am holy, and I give you my holiness, so you're holy. Matthew 5, you know, at the end, 46. Matthew 5. Be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh. Because your heavenly Father makes you perfect. God doesn't ask anything out of you. God's going to send me to some weird place. No. Whatever God's going to do is going to do. And it's always considering that you are, he remembers that you're dust, that you're there's the flower of a field, here today and gone tomorrow. God is not under any illusion that you are something, but he's something. He's something. And he in you makes possible the impossible. And that's why you're holy. That's why you're perfect. That's why you're to walk in the light. And that's why you have full assurance. You're going to be able to stand there and say, listen, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you evidence. I receive God as my Christ as my Savior, God. And I find myself comfortable in God's presence and in God's company. And God and everything God loves, I love. That includes believers. That includes them. That doesn't mean they're always in fellowship, no. But believers that walk in the light or in the light, that stay in the light, I can have fellowship with. Believers that aren't in the light, I don't have fellowship. Don't have fellowship. Remember the light? Remember the light. We had Sunday school. When you walk in the light, I have fellowship with others. The lights, 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 lights. I see the light. I see the light. I see the light. But if you don't, I don't see any light. You're a believer. I don't see any light. That doesn't mean you aren't saved. I just don't have fellowship. In the sense, it has to include God. I'm not talking about friendship and going and doing things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your relationship, and that includes God. And that's awesome. We are at one in a most wonderful way. And therefore, it is not grievous in any way, shape, or form. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you with all our heart. And you're going to what? It's never grievous. Your yoke is so easy. It's so easy, God. All we have to do. And you'll love us. Do you know when you're the little person growing up, you don't ask something of the little person that they can't do. No, you help them. You help them. When my father was 100 years ago, almost 100 years ago, and in the process, they're cutting wood, and cutting the wood and building a wall and wood and stone, all that stuff they were doing. And you know, and here's the thing, to do something, and I couldn't do it. My father said, try it. I said, blah, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So my father said, let me watch. You put your hand on it, and I'll put my hand. And you grab it and lift. And as you lift, do you know you're going to lift it up? You're going to be able to lift the axe or whatever. You can lift it. You can, boom. But when I'm there, you can lift it. I make possible the impossible for your life. And you don't do it. I do it. And you trust me. And that's called faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And God does a wonderful thing. And what he is telling God, you're telling in 1 John 5, I'm going to tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what he's going to do. I'm going to make it so clear that we're so saved and so understanding why we're saved and evidencing why we're saved that you can't argue, you couldn't talk me, you aren't going to get to me at all. I'm locked in. I'm locked in the middle of the sun. And don't tell me there's no light when I'm looking at the sun. It's brilliant. And as I'm in the light, to 1 John 1:7, as we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we shared fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. And you say, well, you're nobody. No, we aren't anybody. We're saved sinners. Saved sinners. That's what we are. And the saved sinners are now saints. And you thought just some places had saints, right? No, you became a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the saints, that's us guys. Yep. You aren't going to talk me out of being saved. No. That's what 1 John 5 is. Going to lock it in. Lock it in. Got it? Show. You're going to show that you love God. I love the things of God. I love what God saves. And if God saves, God saved the rascal, the rascals, God saves them. And in the process, and all of that, God goes and saves Lot. Lot's, boy, I don't want to associate with Lot. Well, you have to. He's saved. I saved him. He didn't deserve to be saved. I saved that rotten guy, that rascal. I saved Lot. I saved them. Now, you cannot have fellowship here, but they belong to me, and you honor me, and understand they belong to me, and you treat them rightly. They belong to me. That's mine. That's mine. That's my word you have in your hand. Honor it. The world doesn't. You better honor my word, that Bible in your hand. I've got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. So help us in every way. It's just us plowing along here on planet Earth. So you got to help us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making it all beyond what we could even understand. But we may not understand it, God, very good. But we're certainly supposed to enjoy it. And our God, we thank you, thank you, thank you. So help us and give understanding to the heart. In Christ's name, amen.